So what's my intro?
You could do the same one, or you could just improv one.
No, I know it. I'm just building myself up to it.
But you don't have to do, like, an over-the-top intro.
What do you mean? I had this whole big thing written.
They're waiting for it. That's what they want. They, you know, it's what our listeners really want, is your big energetic intro to inspire them.
The fireworks and shake the signs.
Yeah, it's like the intro for a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
You gotta have the pyrotechnics and, like, the awesome theme and the confetti streaming down.
Have you heard the Paul and Storm song? It's called Nun Fight. It's less of a song, and all they do is they just announce nun wrestlers.
It's less of a song, more of a prophecy.
Yeah. The foretelling of the future.
No, I haven't, but I probably should.
Okay. Well, this is all going in.
Okay, that's fine.
My name is John Nielsen. I am one of your hosts.
And I'm Josh Rivas. I'm his co-host.
He's the other host.
I'm the other guy.
He's Rambling Nerds. And we're going to ramble for a while. Please, join us.
Join us. We were just talking about, John saw this really neat.
What did I see?
It was Ravenloft. You saw Ravenloft.
Oh, yeah, the Castle Ravenloft board game. It was on sale on the internet, and if I had money, I would buy it, because I want to play it.
It's really awesome. I hear that it's a lot truer to how it originally was. For the
original D&D box?
Original adventure, because it wasn't a campaign setting by itself. It was an adventure that they sold for a D&D. But it was one that was meant to be played once, with one group on one night. And it's really cool, because it's randomized at the start, so it's kind of like Diablo. You know, things are at different places, you're doing slightly different things each time you play it, so you can even play it with the same group, and it won't be exactly the same.
Yeah. But so the Castle Ravenloft is essentially like a condensed burst of Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition.
Yeah.
And it strips away all of the extra things. Like, you kind of just choose a character.
Right.
You just roll through a dungeon.
Yeah, and as far as I know, a lot of their board games are like that, and they're a lot of fun. I mean, they just had...
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
I really want to pick that one up, because I had a lot of... My first active D&D campaign that I completed was in Ravenloft, and it was tons of fun.
The setting Ravenloft.
The setting
Ravenloft. Not the board game Ravenloft.
No. Yeah,
are they still castles?
Yes.
Ravenloft is a castle.
Yeah, you can think of it as like Castlevania. You know, it's a place.
Dracula's castle.
It's Dracula's castle. But that's pretty much, like, Castle Ravenloft is pretty much Castlevania.
But in this board game, it all comes in one box, unlike normal D&D, where you have to buy five different books.
Yeah.
Yeah, and make your own, all and your dice and your figures, but in this box, this Castle Ravenloft is got multiple scenarios in it,
yeah.
So you can actually play it for quite a while, as far as I understand.
It's kind of just like a gateway to get people who don't regularly play tabletop games to play this particular tabletop game and sort of give them an introduction to what D&D is.
Yeah, it sounds like if you want, I remember when I. First, like, years and years ago, I wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons, but it was impossible to get into. I remember going into Barnes & Noble and asking for Dungeons & Dragons, but it just wasn't a thing that was readily available. And even back then, I didn't understand. I thought it was just a box that you could buy.
Yeah.
This was way before 4th edition.
Yeah, well, they did have the starter box. Like, they had the red box before in previous editions, and they recently just...
Yeah, but that was, like, 1st edition or something.
Yes.
Red box.
They had a couple.
They made a 4th edition red box.
I think they also had a 3rd edition one too.
Like a Dungeons and Dragons starter kit.
Yeah.
That would have been really awesome if I had one of those back then.
Yeah. I actually saw it in Red Castle Games for $20. It's really cool that they give that little burst of D&D, but yeah. One of the things that I really liked about I read about the original Ravenloft was the fact
like
that
setting.
Yeah, you could set up for it. You could set up for it, that campaign, that one night campaign. You could set up for it in like 15 minutes. You like roll a couple d6s that determines the layout of the map,
sure,
and which bosses they'll fight and what happens. And it's just really neat. I mean, I'm hoping because they're doing D&D next and they're trying to decide which campaign settings are going to come back for it. I know Eberron's going to stay there. I know Forgotten Realms is going to stay there. But a lot of people have been asking for Ravenloft because that one's kind of like gothic.
Oh, is that
horror.
An entire different setting? I thought it was. You said it was a castle.
It no, Castle Ravenloft is okay. The realm Ravenloft.
So it is a
named
realm.
After, yes.
Like Forgotten Realms and Eberron.
Yes. And it's named after Castle Ravenloft.
So within the Ravenloft setting, there is a castle, Ravenloft.
Yes. Yes. And there's...
Ravenloft.
And this place sucks. Like, this is the D&D...
It's not a cool place.
No, it's like the D&D Silent Hill.
But you want to go play there, I guess? You want to take your characters there.
It's essentially... It's Scary Town. It's the place that your DM sends you when you, when he really wants you to have a bad time.
Oh, I see.
It's like, it, you know, when you read in the DM's manual how there's like the nine hells or whatever. Yeah, that's nothing compared to Ravenloft. Ravenloft is annoying and it's meant to completely drive your characters insane.
Is it technically a realm of hell or?
Okay, I remember reading up on this and I cannot remember where it is exactly, but it does exist within, like, the D&D multiverse.
Well, it's just kind of like a different dimension.
Yeah, kind of.
Same way with Eberron and whatnot. They're all just different planes of existence.
Right.
In the world of the dragons and with the dungeons.
Yeah. But it's a really neat setting. I'm hoping they'll bring it back for D&D next. There's a lot of really cool ones. Like, there's one where magic... is essentially like technology. It's pretty much like D&D BioShock.
That's kind of cool.
It's called Magic Jammer.
That's a lame name.
Yeah,
I have lost all interest.
Maybe it's Spell Jammer.
No, right. Well, that's a little better, but
let me look it up.
I just lost all interest. Let's talk about
BioShock.
BioShock, good game.
It is. Spell
I want to play Sky Shock.
Sky Shock looks good.
Yeah. What is it called?
Spelljammer.
Spelljammer.
It was for second edition.
Spelljammer.
Yeah.
I like strawberry jam or.
This is what it's called.
Raspberry. It's
called, yeah, I don't know. Spelljammer. But yeah, it was.
Anyway.
This is
the second time in a row we've talked about Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and it's completely derailed the podcast.
I don't even play Dungeons and Dragons. The last time I played was, but I don't remember the last time I played it.
You played the...
Oh, we did the next playtest.
We did the next playtest, and it was really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's what I was saying, dude. You need to come out and play, like, Encounters.
No, well, I think once Next comes out, maybe I'll actually, like, buy all the books and...
Yeah, I think
totally get absorbed and...
Go nerd out.
Yeah, just completely nerd out.
You know, yeah, Skyshock. Skyshock sounds awesome.
Did they say a release date for it yet?
I think it was delayed.
Oh, good.
Let's see, BioShock.
It looks really different, doesn't it?
Yes,
it looks very cartoony, but not... I don't know. There's just a completely different aesthetic to it. And not that it's in the sky. So that's the obvious difference.
Yeah, the look is very different.
It's not gritty the way BioShock was.
But it's still scary because it's like you're out in broad daylight in this completely foreign environment.
But it's still like surreal and creepy.
Yeah.
But in a different way, I guess.
The projected release date is February 26th of next year. So that could be cool.
Okay. That's not too far away.
No, it's not too far away, and it looks really neat.
What was I waiting for right now? I know I was waiting for... What's on my list? What's coming out soon? I know Star Wars was going free-to-play. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to Neverwinter.
Oh, I was waiting for Borderlands, and then that came out, but I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah, But
that's on my list.
Yeah, it's and we pretty much just curbed our appetite for it by picking up Torchlight,
which was a lot cheaper.
Yeah, Torchlight 2 is $20.
Yeah,
and if you have $20,
it's supposed to be a good solid like 20-hour game or something too.
Yeah, yeah. If you have $20
just for playthrough
and a computer that can run it well, I suggest you use that $20 to buy yourself Torchlight 2. It's a very, very good game.
Not bad.
You say that as we have already poured it in how many hours?
I think my Steam says I've put like 5 so far.
Yeah. Yeah. It came out Wednesday and it's like I preloaded it and everything. And was it Wednesday? Might have been Thursday.
Thursday.
Some yeah, around there. Last week. And we picked up a copy for the both of us and we just started tearing into it and it's just such a great game.
It's pretty good.
Especially the art.
I really like the art direction. It feels a lot like WoW.
Mhm. It's like WoW, Team Fortress.
Sorta, yeah. Warcraft 3.
It's very.
I love that kind of style in games.
It's very colorful. It's very whimsical. All the armor sets look cool. All the weapons look cool. Yeah. All the enemies look awesome.
It's kind of this fantasy steampunk type of setting. It's really cool.
I'll say that's what sets it apart from other ones like Titan Quest and all the other ones that have come out with it. This one just says, you know, to heck with sticking with just the fantasy genre. It's got like Cthulhu mythos in it, and it's got robots and turrets and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just don't care. They're like, oh yeah, you're a wizard? Here, have a shotgun.
If you want, yeah.
If you want. And that's another thing I really like. It doesn't really limit what you can use. You can be a wizard that uses a shotgun. You can be a wizard that uses a giant buster sword. It doesn't matter.
If you wanted to, yeah.
It's just you pick whatever you want to play with because it's fun. And the classes are all really neat. I tried playing the Outlander, which is like a ranger type.
Is it Gunslinger? Mm-hmm. But he's also got like a lot of gadgets and stuff.
He's got gadgets, he's got like magic powers.
Yeah, he's got like curses and stuff too.
Yeah. I actually went into that tree.
So he's like kind of a warlock.
Yeah. It's
really weird.
It feels like what they did was they had all these ideas for different classes, but instead of making them different classes, they made them into different skill trees, which is really neat.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Because then you have a bigger variety of potential things you could play. Because I started with the Outlander, and then I switched over to the Berserker, and I'm playing him more as
warrior just dude.
Warrior dude who just runs in there and hopes that he gets crits, and it's funny because it's like once we run into if we run into big packs of monsters, that's usually Ensis. Ensis will probably decimate them before I can get halfway there. And
I'm the mage dude.
Yeah.
But when we reach fireballs and lightning balls.
Kamehameha waves.
Yeah, it's tiny though. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know if you can upgrade.
It looks cool. I don't know.
It looks pretty cool, but it doesn't go. You have to be in short range for it to be effective, which is counterintuitive for being a squishy mage. I don't know. Maybe you can upgrade the length or something. Right now I just, shoot lightning.
Yeah. It's just from really afar. Neat. We finished. I think we're at the end of the first act.
I don't know. I think so, but
yeah. And the boss that we fought last.
Yeah, we beat like the first major boss.
Yeah, and it's that was so awesome.
That was a cool fight. Yeah.
Just the way that it looked. I actually said a whoa. I mean, I haven't yet said a whoa.
And then you died.
And then I died.
Almost died, but I kept you alive.
That was really funny because I'm supposed to be the tank and
yeah.
One attack and just crippled me, and I'm just yeah, like ants, get him, I gotta go heal. So I'm huddling in a corner, just crying, pouring potions on my boo boo.
Well, as I'm running around in circles.
Yeah, he's like, hurry up, get back.
Yeah, the giant skeleton monsters are chasing me.
Scott, yeah.
But yeah, I think it is a game that you have to play in a party. Like, I'm sure it's fine. Like, just the way that Diablo is fine playing by yourself.
But it really stands out with other players.
This is a game you want to play with other people. So hopefully you have some friends willing to play with you.
And the best part is it's only $20, whereas other games of the genre are like $60. So you really owe it to yourself to pick it up at that price. It's really good. So there's our endorsement.
You think we said enough to get our check from Runic Games?
Yeah, let's go send this podcast to them.
Yeah, I think we said enough.
Oh, man. No, it's like, it's the same way with how we...
I would not feel bad at all if they actually were going to send us a check.
No, I would...
We need to get sponsors for our podcast.
Yeah.
I would actually... Well, at least for something like that, it's like, sure, yeah, we'll talk about Torchlight. We were probably going to talk about Torchlight anyway. Might as well give us like, some money. I just really want some money. I'm poor.
We all want money.
I
want
to buy Borderlands.
Yeah, that's what happens. Someone sends you money, you'll immediately pour it into Borderlands.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, eating.
That comes second for you? That comes
It's on the list.
It's always first for me.
Nah.
It's like eating is right there. I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, it's the same way, like, how on the site I always endorse League of Legends a bunch.
Oh, there it is. It took three episodes.
It took three episodes.
League of Legends.
Speaking of which, that's
which I think that's it's the only game that exists as far as LoC is concerned.
Yeah. No, that's not true. It's just the only one. It's the only one I've been playing actively for around 3 years.
This is the only one that matters.
It's the only one that I will always have on my desktop year round because I uninstall stuff and I reinstall stuff and I have it on there. But I really like League of Legends. I play it a lot.
It's all right.
John plays it every once in a while now. Yeah. I still play it every day.
Every day.
Every day. Neat thing is they're starting to fix up their tribunal stuff, so there's gonna be less trolls, and they're actually giving it an honor system. Did you hear about that?
What is that? What do you mean?
Well, they're gonna start. You know how the tribunal punishes negative behavior,
gives
Now they're gonna start looking. They're gonna give you the option to recommend players that have been positive in your game experience to receive honor.
So like when you play a game. There's a report button, and then there's a praise button.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
I like that. But then, like, what happens? Do praised people get matched with other praised people, or...
No, it's assumed that you'll get rewards. I'm guessing it's gonna be, like, IP, and then if you're really good, they'll give you, like, skins and stuff.
If you're a super cool bro...
Yeah.
You'll get some nice champion skins.
Yeah.
Well, are you making that up, or is that really...
No.
Have they said what they're going to do?
No, there's not any details on it yet. Uh-huh. As far as we know, we're still waiting on what they're going to release.
I like my idea. Match make the good people...
That's a glorious idea.
Match them with their, like, soulmates. It's a match system in the truest sense.
Because it got pretty hairy once they started turning up the tribunal's lasers. I was telling Ants about this thread that started popping up once they banned a certain percentage of the worst part of the community, but didn't put out reform cards for it. Because it just got jammed up in the email. And it really caused a lot of people to just go nuts on the forums, and it kind of shut everything down. But now they started explaining how it's starting to get to the point where the tribunal can point out negative behavior in a game and eliminate it from progressing into higher level accounts.
So these people are silenced?
Yeah.
It's forever.
It's pretty cool.
By robots.
They're like... They're like Terminators that only kill bad dudes. They only kill jerks.
Uh-huh.
which is the best thing. But I like that they're really going in the other direction. They're trying to offer better players some reward, because there really wasn't any reward besides having, you know, a better experience and
so feeling good about yourself.
Feeling good about yourself.
Did the right thing. Yeah. By not raging and AFKing in Fountain.
Yeah.
And offering a buffet to the opposing team.
Yeah. Some dude offered me a beer. That's, you know.
Like an internet beer?
Well, no, he asked if I had a PayPal. He was going to send me the I was going to be like, yeah, it's $2,000 in Oregon.
It's a little...
It's my rent. It's the cost of my rent in Oregon. It's like, give me $2,000. I live in this awesome condo.
Mansion. I need to pay my servants.
Yeah.
We need to raise a Kickstarter to pay our servants.
Right. But
anyway.
Yeah, so that's that. What were we gonna talk about? We were talking about,
I don't know. I mean, I wrote up a nice list, a set list.
Yeah,
talking points. Like, we did the opening act.
Yes, we did.
And then now we're kind of in the meandering portion.
Right. I kind of touched into some of my news.
Oh, dang it. You forgot to do the intro, Josh.
The intro?
Josh's gaming news from around the interglobe, featuring ace reporter, Josh.
I like how you had that awesome entry, and then it just went bloop. Josh. It's just like, it stopped, it hovered above the ground, put out the tiniest landing gear, and then dropped an inch. That's where it was.
You have to start over now, so...
No. Okay.
Gaming news.
So, gaming news, yes. So, I already talked about League of Legends. We just passed through, this week, the Tokyo Game Show. One of the neat little things that happened there was Hideo Kojima mentioning that the Metal Gear movie... It's back in.
Is that pretty much just like the E3 of Japan?
Yeah. In fact, it's a little bigger than E3 now. Cause...
Sure.
Yeah.
So, is that a good thing? Or
yeah, it's a good thing.
Was it cool?
It was awesome. They showed off a lot of Phoenix Wright footage, and it looks good. Phoenix Wright looks good.
Oh, the new 3DS one?
Yeah. Yeah. It looks really neat.
Of course it does. Weren't you concerned in the last podcast?
Yes, I was very concerned, and then I watched the video, and I was very, very satisfied. But yeah,
I believed all along.
Hideo Kojima is pretty adamant about the fan following for it. There were rumors flying around. Right? No, for this movie. See, you keep pulling me aside to other subjects. Like,
you just started talking about Hideo Kojima's all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's the subject, dude.
No, we were talking about Phoenix Wright.
No, you pulled up Phoenix, right?
You're slamming your mouse, and I'm sure the
it's because you're not
listeners.
It's your not
start breaking things.
Yeah, really.
I'm talking about Metal Gear Solid.
Okay, yeah, but the rumor that was flying around was that he was thinking about writing the script for it. That was coming out of was it Famitsu? But yeah, then he later pulled that back and he said he didn't say that. A lot of people are saying that they should get David Hayter to write it, because he did a pitch of it before, and Hideo Kojima apparently didn't like it as much. But he did X-Men. He did X-Men 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So he's a natural choice.
Watchmen.
Yeah, he did one for Watchmen, yeah. Another thing that came out of there is the Tokyo Game Show, they announced the Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 remix, which was essentially an HD re-release of the original Kingdom Hearts and the 3D Chain of Memories. It'll have trophy support for both. But right now, it's really unclear, like, what it is. We were just talking about it. If it has trophy support...
Huh.
It better be the games, you know, it better not be, but they're calling it a video work, so I don't know if it's just like a DVD of the cutscenes string together or something like that.
So what do you mean, it's called the Kingdom Hearts Collection video work? VideoWorks collection, or
yeah, it's called the 1.5 HD Remix. Okay,
it's 1.5.
Yeah, I don't know why they have the weirdest names for it.
Does it have Kingdom Hearts 2?
I don't know if it does. So far, what it showed off was Kingdom Hearts and Chain of Memories.
Okay, didn't they already do that? Didn't they already make that a collection? They released Chain of Memories on the PS2, right?
Yeah. It's going to have that version, but it's going to be HD. Same with the first one.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be the final mix version.
Right.
Of it, not the originals.
Right.
So they'll have all the extra content.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's an actual PS3 release, that, you know, people can play it through, especially since the later games have been revamped. But there was so much speculation behind it that there might be a lot more to it. Tetsuya Nomura was hinting at the fact that all of this was ramping up towards the third game, and that he wanted to get everyone reacquainted with the entire storyline before he jumps into
Because it's been like 10 years.
Yes. Like how long? Yeah, it's been forever since the first Kingdom Hearts.
I don't get it. It's like, doesn't he? You had the explanation for it. He just keeps getting distracted by other games.
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. Because what was it? He's now one of the big designers at Square Enix.
He's just a really busy guy.
He's a really busy guy. They had him for The World Ends With You. Uh-huh. They had him for Final Fantasy 13. That took forever. It took them 5 years of development, which was right on the heels of Kingdom Hearts 2. So he's been distracted for 5 years trying to get the trifecta of these games, which were okay, but they weren't his babies. Like they weren't his works.
Did they say Kingdom Hearts is going to be a trilogy, or
they
have they said?
No, they haven't really said.
It'll just go on forever, which is fine with me, I guess, as long as they don't.
Well,
keep
Nomura
taking
says
forever.
Yeah, Nomura says that he has the art completely planned out in terms of like.
Sure.
Beginning, middle, and end.
The main stuff.
Yeah, he pretty much confirmed that Sora's going to be the central focus until the end.
I guess that's good.
Yeah.
Seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's got big shoes.
I don't know why. Like, all of his other characters in every other universe, completely fine. And then once he gets his own universe, ginormous shoes.
That's funny.
And hoodie.
I didn't like his outfit in the first game. He had, like, these super weird, poofy shorts.
Yeah. Two, they were cool.
His outfit in two was super rad.
Yeah.
Especially all the different forms. They all had these really cool, unique outfits.
Final form is the best.
Though I do have mixed feelings about his character designs. He likes to pile on the zippers.
Yeah, a lot of people have that complaint. I personally think I really like his style. I really
do. Yeah, it's pretty cool for. I think he just goes a little overboard with all the extra little details that aren't necessary. I don't know.
How do you feel about the design for The World Ends With You?
It was pretty much the same, except more angular. Everybody had
he was
points.
He was
smooth characters.
He would do the initial character design, and then someone else would go over it, which is why it was so angly.
I see.
It was his distinctive graffiti style, the other artist. I can't remember his name right now. But,
right.
Yeah, that's... So, yeah, I mean, there's rumors that that's coming out.
Kingdom Hearts.
Well, it's not a rumor. It's confirmed that this is coming out. We're not sure exactly what's in it besides those two confirmed games. There's already been a hint... And the iPad port of The World Ends With You, that there's going to be a sequel for that, which is going to be awesome. And, yeah, I mean, that's what we've heard so far that I thought was interesting from Tokyo Game Show. What else?
Tokyo Game Show?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there was a trailer for that Rocksmith game, which I thought came out, like, a long time ago, but I guess it didn't. Is the game...
Really? They didn't come out yet?
No, I guess not, because there was a trailer for it. I saw it on game trailers for the Rocksmith game.
Well, tell me more. Like, I haven't heard from that.
It's the Guitar Hero game where you plug in a real guitar.
Oh, man.
Which is really cool.
I thought that died. I thought that was gone.
I thought it came out. I didn't hear anything about it for a long time.
I thought it crashed. Like, I thought it came out and no one played it.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
that's
too.
Funny.
But there was a trailer for it.
Man.
Which I would... I don't know. I'd be interested in trying. I probably won't buy it.
Right.
But The same, I haven't bought, like, any of those kinds of games in a long time.
Well, yeah, I mean, what...
Like, I'd be interested in trying DJ Hero, but I'm not going to buy it.
It's not fun.
Really? You didn't like it? I've never tried it. I just wanted to give the little turntable thing a try, but I've never gotten my hands on one. You didn't like it at all?
No. I played it.
You didn't like scratching and the other things that DJs do?
It was okay.
I don't know what else they do.
It just felt like every other rhythm game I've ever played.
Wear headphones and kind of wave your arms around as you scratch the scritches.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know anything about this.
I mean, they had cool tracks, but it's like, I don't...
It wasn't what you wanted.
Okay. It's weird, but it's like, that genre of music, I don't air DJ to it. Do you understand what I mean?
You don't dance?
No. When you listen to Freebird. And you hear that solo, do your fingers not automatically go to the invisible frets in the air? But you don't do that.
I pull out my air guitar and start strumming.
Right.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. It's like, everyone that listens to all the music that's in DJ Hero, they want to dance to it, or they want to nod their heads to it, or they just are really into it. They don't air DJ. The want to DJ has never been there. And if there is, you become a DJ.
Okay.
But it's like, there's not really a sound way that it translates from the concept of air DJing to the gameplay of it. Like, it's cool, but it feels like it's more like you're following the game's instructions rather than reacting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was it's kind of the same transition from playing drums on Rock Band and playing keyboard in Rock Band 3. Because keyboard in Rock Band 3, it's like, it's really neat and you're following the directions and everything.
Okay.
And that's fun. But it also feels, it doesn't feel too different from any of the other instruments. Unless you play on Pro, in which case you are playing the piano.
Yeah.
But in DJ Hero, it's like, it feels more like a Wii game. It's like, follow this direction, squiggle it this way, and it's like...
I don't know, maybe that's a completely accurate portrayal.
It might be.
Of how DJs DJ their Js.
I guess. But, I don't know, it just didn't feel fun. I played it for like 15 minutes, and I was like, It's okay, it's a rhythm game. But it might have been that it just wasn't developed, it was done by Activision, you know... The same team that did Guitar Heroes after Harmonix.
Yeah.
And I felt like...
Starting with 3.
Yeah. And I felt like after 3...
Just Activision sinked its evil tentacles.
I guess. No, I just
felt spread their taint.
I just felt like they just didn't develop it for long enough.
Well, they made a second one. Was the second one better?
I don't know. I didn't play that one.
No.
That'll show you. That'll show you. I never tried it because I didn't.
That'll show you.
Yeah. That'll learn him.
That's how bad it was. We didn't play it.
We didn't play it. That's like a sign to know that your game isn't that great, because I have no interest in your sequel.
That's not... You sure you want to go down this road, Josh?
I don't know. What are they going to do? Is Activision going to, like, nuke us? They're gonna send their boys in blue, kick down our door, and arrest us. Like,
I'm sure there's plenty of games you haven't played.
Oh, okay. Not games. I mean sequels. Like if I played.
Okay, well let's put some more qualifications on this.
Yeah. Okay. So,
if you played a game and didn't play the sequel, then it's the worst.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's like, if I have interest in your sequel because I played your first game, that's great. You did your job. You developed a game good enough for me to have interest in what you've done elsewhere, which is why I have, even if I didn't like it as much, like, for example, I played Diablo 1. Okay? I played Diablo 1 before I played Diablo 2. I thought Diablo 1 was okay. I didn't beat it. but I liked it enough to invest like 10 hours into it.
I didn't play BioShock 2. Was BioShock 2 good?
I
heard that it was just kind of more of the same.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad...
I haven't played it yet because I haven't had access to it, but I have interest. But I played Diablo 2 because of my interest in Diablo 1. I didn't think it was a phenomenal, like, the best game ever, but I played the second one because I thought the first one was okay, and the second one was amazing. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
That didn't happen with DJ Hero. I didn't play that one and be like, oh man, what if they fixed it in the second one? I better try it out. I didn't have that need. I satisfied my need for seeing what it was about.
I see that you have a lot of very strong feelings about DJ Hero, so maybe we should move on.
Okay, yeah. Before I rage at this podcast over DJ Hero. I don't hate it. It's just I
just have a lot of strong emotional ties.
Exactly. You mention it, I crush cups.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
But yeah, it's pretty awesome.
What's pretty awesome?
I'm just
cup crushing a bit.
My anger for
so much rage. Well, no, I didn't say rage. I said, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about how
what
awesome it was that when with Torchlight 2.
Yeah.
I didn't get. I was interested in it before because I saw all the trailers for it and I thought it looked neat.
Sure.
But when I bought it, I was kind of disappointed because I bought it before the release date, and so it was locked on my Steam.
Oh, yeah.
But they gave me Torchlight 1.
Yeah.
Because I pre-ordered it.
Order, yeah.
And so I got to play the first one and really get a feel for how it played, and that was really neat. I really liked the first one, too.
It was alright. I played it for a while. I lost interest after a while. I don't know what that says about the game, or me. I don't know what it says about me as a person.
Well,
I just thought it was alright.
I heard the common consensus was like, it was great, but the main complaint was that there was no multiplayer at all.
No, there wasn't? I don't remember.
I played it myself because
I don't have any friends.
That's like the crucial crime that it commits. It doesn't have any multiplayer when it's like, it's perfectly suited for it.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, there was one thing I thought that was really funny. I thought about this on the way back.
About what? Torchlight?
No, about, I've been playing Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Oh.
It's hilarious because Adam Jensen's whole plot is pretty much Inspector Gadget.
Okay, so he gets injured.
He's
rebuilt as Inspector Gadget / RoboCop. So wait, no. Okay, I disagree and say it's more like RoboCop.
It's more like RoboCop. Because
he doesn't have a genius dog named Genius. Or no, his name. What was the dog's name? You know this.
Brain.
Isn't it Brainy or Brain?
Just Brain.
Brain, just Brain?
Brain.
He was voiced by Don Adams in the movie, which was a very good movie. The second movie was actually better. The direct to video Inspector Gadget was better than the.
Really?
It was.
I disagree.
No, the first movie was horrible.
This is... No!
Dr. Claw guy was really bad.
No! Dude!
The second one actually...
Take out your friend card. Take out your friend card and tear it up.
Are we not friends anymore?
No, I love the first movie. I thought the second
I liked it when I was a kid. I thought it was an entertaining movie when I was a kid.
Okay, I haven't seen it recently, so you might be right on that one. I could watch it right now and hate it.
All I'm saying is that the second movie actually followed the plot of the original show.
Okay.
The format, I should say. Like, yeah. In the end, Inspector Gadget catches Dr. Claw, but he escapes in this rocket that was inside of his ice cream truck or something for some reason. You know, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll get you next time, and as he flies away on his escape pod rocket. And that, you know, you didn't get any of those things in the first movie.
Yeah.
Like, the plot was solved by the girl.
Did they have the dude that gives him his mission, give him an explosive device?
Oh. I don't remember. That was all the best, though.
That's a great gag.
He always ended up being the one that got blown up.
Yeah.
I didn't like the show.
No, it's like, I'm so close to it, and I can't, like, close to the end of Human Revolution, I was like, this is Inspector Gadget. Yeah, back to
Deus Ex.
Yeah, that's, oh man. That's a great gem. I didn't pick it up when it first came out.
It came out like a year ago already, probably.
Yeah, I was...
I'm not good at sense of time.
The thing is, I was very skeptical about playing it, mostly because of the fact that I was a big fan of the first game.
One, but you hated the second one.
So I was very skeptical.
Very similar to your hatred for DJ Hero.
Kind of. But I gave it a chance, and it's awesome. And the cool thing is, like, they had a Steam sale earlier on the whole franchise. And
yeah, I picked it up on sale, right?
Yeah, and I picked up the very first Deus Ex. I picked up the Game of the Year edition. It still holds up, and it's so awesome.
I haven't played it. I only played the Invisible War.
It's a great game. I had to stop myself from playing it because I knew we were going to get Torchlight, and I didn't want to get sucked into multiplayer.
Oh, that's funny.
Because I was like, no, I can't play Deus Ex again.
I can't let it pull me back in.
It's such a great game. It was one of those games that I could actually play, beat, and then start a new game. Like, that's how it was. I used to be that way with
I used to be able to do that. I can't do that anymore. I don't know. As I've grown into this adult stages, I can't do that anymore. I used to be able to do that with Metal Gear Solid. I would just play it over and over and over.
Yeah.
But and the first Knights of the Old Republic, I played through it like 4 different times.
That's crazy.
Because I just loved all of the different... Because, you know, it was different every time you played it.
Yeah.
But yeah, nowadays, I tried to play Mass Effect again, Mass Effect 3. I was going to roll through it again as a renegade character. And I only got so far before I stopped playing it. I think it's just because part of it is, you know, time restraints.
You
have responsibilities now. We're not children anymore.
And it might be that, like, now that we're older, we're very...
Older and wiser.
Well, we want fresh experiences.
Yeah. And because it comes back down to, like, our time is limited.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of gaming time.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
There was an awesome...
Because we're responsible adults.
There was an awesome video on the... What's that series called? Extra Credits.
Oh.
Which was on the first... Yeah, Yeah, Extra Credits. It's on Penny Arcade TV right now.
Uh-huh.
But it's this really neat show that talks about the important parts of game design.
Yeah, and development and stuff. But anyway, continue.
One of the most recent ones is on the something I didn't really think about until I watched it, is the first 15 minutes of a game is the most important.
For sure, yeah. It's got to teach you all the stuff. It's got to set everything. I'll just say that goes for, like, movies.
All things, yeah. All things. But not only that, it's like it's got to make you interested in the game. It's got to make you locked into that game within the first 15 minutes or you're lost. Or you don't even care. And they do that a lot with the tutorial levels. You'll see it in, like, the very first Halo, how it immediately throws you into the action. With Metal Gear Solid, it lets you play through the first couple minutes of it before it starts the narrative.
Yeah, before the title screen even comes up, which is pretty... I thought that was pretty cool. You go up the elevator, and your costume changes, and the music's playing, and all the... Through the entire intro sequence, the names are coming up on the screen. You're playing the intro.
Mm-hmm. The first 15 minutes of Bioshock... When your plane crashes and you just don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, you're actually controlling your character through all that.
Yeah, and you go towards the lighthouse, and it's creepy. The very moment the lights go on, you know you're in the wrong place. You know you're, like, you're not supposed to be here.
What is this, yeah. But anyway, where were you going with this?
What I was saying, I'm sorry.
Extra credits.
And the first 15 minutes is really crucial into how well your game plays out, and it's one of the reasons why I appreciated Human Revolution, Deus Ex Human Revolution, so much, was because they simultaneously filled you in on the world, what you were in for in terms of the plot and what they were going to discuss, what the game was going to be like, and why you should care. That's really hard to do within the first 15 minutes.
Well, you're a writer now, so you, like, you can pick out all these things and recognize them.
Yeah, and I could, I start looking for those little hooks, and, the first thing they put out that you're supposed to remember throughout the game, and it comes up, is whether or not the development of those kinds of weapons are ethical.
Sure.
Is it okay for us to have this stuff? And at first you're like, meh, we're the good guys, meh, we're making the weapons for, like, police and stuff. And then everything goes to heck because terrorists come and attack your facility, and they're super armed with super weapons.
Yeah, they are not cool bros.
And then you realize, oh, wait, you know.
Because at the start, you're just a normal security guard.
You're just a normal dude.
Yeah.
And then when you wake up,
a really cool haircut.
Yeah, and an awesome jacket.
And a deep voice.
And deep voice. Which all protagonists of that series have a deep voice.
I thought it was funny, his voice doesn't really match when you're making the good guy decisions. He's like, you need to treat your wife better. Like, he sounds like Batman. And it doesn't really work.
You need to do your homework. Or I'm going to come for you. I'm going to burst.
I don't know.
No, yeah, I understand.
Kind of funny.
I understand. Like,
or all funny.
No, and I get that because I'm playing as a good guy. You know, I'm playing as a really cool bro.
You're lawful good.
I'm lawful good in that one. And I get that, too. It's like, no, it's okay. Your daughter didn't have to die. And I was like, dude, you're still being really insensitive. Despite doing the right thing. It's like, I'll always remember the way that her skull was crushed. He's like so insensitive.
He's not that. He doesn't actually sound like that.
He doesn't.
But
yes.
He does have like kind of a deep, brooding voice, I guess. Not gravely like that. I don't know. Anyway.
But anyway, it does a really good job of that thing.
He's got cool sunglasses, too. He's just an imposing figure.
He's just an imposing...
The voice and the jacket and the sunglasses.
It's a great game. If you haven't played it yet, you should definitely give it a try.
You're a little girl. I saved your puppy.
I think that's all the news that I had.
This concludes the video game ramble segment.
You gotta have like a sound effect button with like fireworks. But it's not, or no, a party blower. It's totally unexciting.
Woo.
Woo.
Alright, now that we got the boring stuff out of the way, I can talk about what I want to talk about.
Which is,
I don't know, we got a question.
Yeah, what's the question?
The question comes, this is another one I stole from the internet. From the Yahoo Answers, his name is Lolling King.
Lolling King?
Yeah, Lolling King. All one word.
Okay.
So he's the king of lolling.
That's
what I'm assuming.
So he wears a crown.
And he laughs.
Okay, alright, no.
Anyway, he wants to know, he's trying to fill out his perfect Pokemon team. And he wants to know if he should take Alakazam or Gengar.
Ah.
Any help would really be appreciated, he says.
I'm assuming he's playing first gen.
No, it's Heart Gold.
Heart Gold?
He specifies Heart Gold.
Okay.
Which is my personal preference
when it comes
to Pokemon.
So you're going to be the expert on this one, because I didn't play a lot of
What's the last Pokemon you played?
I played Black.
You did? Did you play, like, Ruby and Diamond?
I played Ruby. Yes,
You skipped the Diamond and Pearl, though?
I did play a little of Diamond, but I didn't beat it. It didn't really draw me in, but it's because I was really busy.
Sure.
And it's like, I don't know why, I just didn't have the same spark.
I didn't beat Black.
I beat Black.
I only played it for a little bit.
I beat Black, it was really good.
It was kind of neat. But anyway, let's help out this poor fellow.
Okay.
You want to hear the rest of his team?
Yeah.
He's got a Typhlosion.
Yeah, this will help.
Typhlosion, okay. Gyarados, Tyranitar, Electivire, which I'm not sure which one that is, and I'm a Machamp. Who's Electivire?
Electivire.
Google it. Hurry. to the internet. I think it's the electric dog, but I feel bad now because I don't know. I don't have all of the.
Whoa, he's an electric type. He's
like, I'm assuming he is electric type.
He looks kind of like, oh man.
Describe him to me.
He's like this humanoid thing with like two. I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, is he the evolution of Electabuzz?
He might be.
Does he look like Electabuzz?
He looks kind of like. Well, no, not really. No? Yeah, he is. He is evolved from like.
Ah, Pokemon. My Pokemon knowledge saves the day once again.
Okay.
There's a really cool Tumblr blog where the guy, he doesn't know anything about Pokemon, and people will send him descriptions of Pokemon, and he'll draw them, and it's really, really funny.
That's good.
It's if I remember what I was called, I would tell you. But anyway, I say Gengar.
Gengar? Yeah, I just like Ghost Pokemon's ability to, like, I don't know, just screw with one of their mains. Because if I had the choice, I like Psychic, but I don't know, Ghost just has some really great.
Those are actually two Pokemon that I pretty much always had in my party. Just like every single version of
Gengar?
The play. I'll either have like an Alakazam or a Gengar. I don't think I'd ever would have both. But I remember like my very first run through of Red. I'm pretty sure I had a Gengar in my party, my final party. It was a Haunter at the time, though, and I had no freaking idea how to evolve him. Got him all the way up to, like, level 90 or, you know, way up there. He would never evolved.
Yeah.
Made me super mad. And I remember what happened is my brother could not, he was having a hard time with the Elite Four. It's like, oh, here, borrow my awesome level 80, 90 or whatever Haunter.
And
and he evolves.
Because you traded him.
Yeah, because that's how you
evolve. That's the trigger.
I always hated that.
Funny. That is so funny.
That comes down to having friends again.
It's, oh, man. Yeah, exactly.
But, anyway, no, I actually, Gengar, when I played through Heart Gold, I went a little deeper, and I actually picked, like, I smartly picked my team.
Yeah.
Based on, like, these Pokemon's specialties and, you know, coverage, type coverage and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out this whole new world of effort points. And
yeah. That's what happens.
It gets real deep.
I haven't done that.
The tunnel goes deep.
I just pick Pokemon. Just pick an array of the elements to use.
Pick your
or whatever.
Favorite ones.
Pick ones of different elements.
Anyway, I get into that because Gengar actually has, like, the highest special attack of any Pokemon or something like that. He's tier 1. Gengar is a tier 1 Pokemon.
Yeah. As far as I know, like, I'm just looking at the type effectiveness right now. It's
Gengar
like,
is Ghost and Poison. So you can teach him, like, Sludge Ball. I don't know if he learns it or if you teach it to him. So having that one poison attack is pretty good.
As far as I can tell, like, Electivire isn't weak to anything except for ground. Like, it's pretty good.
Isn't he pure electric?
Yeah.
The Electivire guy?
Yeah, I think he's only...
I think electric is only weak against ground, yeah.
Yeah, and, but Gengar. Gengar has...
He probably has a few weaknesses.
Gengar is weak. It was weak to ghost, psychic, and dark. And I don't know how prevalent Dark is in Heart Gold or whatever.
I don't think.
But I don't know. It's just kind of weird to have.
I like Magneton. He's always have that many Pokemon. Weaknesses. My electric Pokemon was Magneton.
But yeah,
he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's Steel and Electric.
I was so I like weird him. When they introduced Steel.
Yeah, and that was with Gold and Silver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like what. Steel? What?
Yeah.
How is that a type? This Pokemon is made out of metal. Which, well, okay, I guess. Magnemite was a Pokemon. So, like, they made up that class. Just
yeah.
Magnemite.
Yeah.
To justify Magnemite's existence. They had to pick up a whole class.
Steelix.
Yeah, he's weird.
That's so weird. Yeah.
I was actually, this reminds me of a Cracked article I was reading the other day.
Yeah.
There's a certain species of spider where his mandibles, I guess is the word, mm-hmm. his teeth pokers, they're actually made out of metal.
What?
Yeah. He's got some...
No, don't tell me that.
Yeah. He's got, instead of like hard rock bone or whatever, there's actually traces of iron and stuff in there. And over time, as the spider gets older, the bone layers will, like, shed, and it'll become more and more concentrated iron or metal.
No, you're telling...
So as it gets older, you get this giant, wizened, ancient spider with solid steel mandibles.
Oh, my God.
That crush your skull.
Nightmare fuel. You're not... No.
I saw this on the internet.
So it must be true.
Yes.
So you're telling me we have ancient spider cyborgs with a freaking iron mandibles? I don't want to hear that. How am I supposed to sleep? Yeah. No, it's like now I can't go outside.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't go out there anyway.
It's terrible. That's terrible. Why would nature do this? Nature's a jerk.
It's not a nice fellow.
No, it's...
Well, anyway, Lolling King. I vote for Gengar. What is your vote, Josh? We have to solve this man's poor problem.
Well, okay.
Pokemon problem.
I'm partial to first gen, so yeah, I'd go Gengar, mostly because I like...
Zam is first gen.
Huh?
Alakazam is first gen.
Oh, no, I thought we were like the virus.
It's between Alakazam and Gengar.
Alakazar and Gengar. I'd still go with Gengar. I like ghost types a lot more.
Yeah.
They seem to benefit my party a lot more whenever I have them over psychic.
Those are actually two of my favorites.
Yeah.
I have, like, a little figure of both of them on my desk. Or on my bookshelf,
actually. Yeah, there's a few on there. I usually always have either a ghost type or a fighting type, one of the two in my party.
Yeah.
They always end up in my endgame team.
Yeah.
But I would say Gengar. That would be my choice.
You're welcome, Lolling King.
You're welcome. I hope you hear this and make the right decision. Not the wrong decision. Or I'll find you.
That's the thing I don't like. I wish people would send in more questions, because I don't like answering random questions off the internet, because they won't get our answer. So it's not as fun.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
But, yeah.
We got to talk about Pokemon.
Again, put your questions in the comment. Doesn't matter how silly it is. Because we usually have these up on our front page.
Not too silly.
And then what's the...
serious business.
What's the email for the podcast?
It's podcast@massiveponage.com.
So send your questions to podcast@massiveponage.com.
Or leave a comment on this podcast.
It's very simple. Don't worry about weirding us out.
Yeah, you don't even have to worry about grammar and punctuation. Those things help. But, you know, we're loosey-goosey, casual podcast men.
Dudes.
People.
Bro.
Nerds. Is loosey-goosey, like, a relevant phrase nowadays? I feel, like, really old saying it.
Loosey-goosey? I suppose, like, Dr. Goose is timey-wimey, but that still sounds weird.
Timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Okay, but I think that's it for this podcast. Send your questions in, and we'll see you next...
We'll fill you all with our knowledge.
Yeah, well, so I guess we'll see you guys next Monday.
Next week, which is next month.
Oh, really? It's up already? That's crazy.
A new month is coming.
What am I doing with
time? Time rolls ever forward.
Ever forward into the infinite.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, you guys.
See you next time.
Bye.